This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Wilson gets the snap. Lofts, right corner of the end zone, and it is hauled in by Pickens. Touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers!
And now, he's a Dallas Cowboy. The breaking news this morning, Bobby Roberto Belt texted us last night from Post Malone and Billy Bob's at around 11 p.m. that the trade is happening. I woke up this morning extra early. I texted Bobby. Sometimes I got to push Bobby. I'm like, make it your story. Come on. It's contract time for you too. All right. Make it your own. Slap your name on it. Tweet it out. Thank God that you tweeted it when you did, because about 10, 15 minutes later, Adam Schefter, Jordan Schultz, Tom Pelissero, props to Ian Rappaport and Diana Rossini and Albert Breer, along with, I texted at the Florio while I was at the gas pump this morning, Pro Football Talk, gave it to Bobby as well. So props to them for citing correctly. But Bobby Belt all over George Pickens being a Dallas Cowboy. And we're all signing off in the room. I probably have the most issues. Bobby is the biggest supporter. Choppy's porridge is medium. And mine is the coldest, but I'm still in with doing it to give this team more dynamic options and, of course, intrigue.
I'll also say, as somebody who's been a supporter of what Brian Schottenheimer's trying to establish and somebody who's always been a supporter of Dak Prescott's leadership, like, if Dak's the leader, I think he is. If Schottenheimer's culture is going to be what it is, you should be able to help things along with George Pickens.
I'm glad you brought that up. You know, Dak's leadership, maybe it's a little... All right, let me rephrase it before we take calls. All right. I believe that Dak Prescott has tremendous leadership abilities. I question whether his leadership abilities have or are enough.
Yeah, move on.
Tank Lawrence, Micah Parsons, all this crap, Mike McCarthy out. Dak's leadership wasn't strong enough to overcome all that. Dak Prescott's leadership is not enough to corral CeeDee Lamb's tantrums when he ain't getting the football. So all this whole culture thing, I'm not saying Dak Prescott's not a great leader. I believe he is. It hasn't and is not strong enough to cure what has ailed this football team in the locker room.
Do you? I'll just say this. Do you view CeeDee Lamb as George Pickens?
No.
I don't think anybody does. And I think
But CeeDee Lamb has some issues.
Right. He's got some maturity stuff, which he owns up to. He generally is pretty good at reflecting, saying, I should have been better about
yes.
that. I think that's
he
part
just
of,
hasn't fixed it.
I think that's
totally.
Part. But I think that's part of the leadership aspect with Dak and some of the culture stuff, is because I think if CeeDee Lamb was in Pittsburgh, people would view CeeDee Lamb as George Pickens, because it wouldn't have been reined in like that, because it would have been a quarterback issue where there wasn't stability. The quarterback, a lot of times, I think, has smoothed things over or used it as a growth process to say, dude, come on, just talk to me. Don't worry about what the cameras are doing. Don't isolate yourself. And so I think there's a potential he would be viewed as Pickens if he hadn't had the stability here at quarterback.
877-881-1053 to hit us up right now on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Let's turn it over to the Tolos. Enrique in Dallas, you're up first. What do you think of the George Pickens trade?
Look, I'm really effing pissed off right now. I'm really pissed. I had a stroke 6 weeks ago. Jerry Jones is going to make me have another stroke over this damn pick. We already have CeeDee Lamb. What do we need another wide receiver for? Besides all of that, it doesn't matter how far George Pickens can go when Dak can't even get a touchdown pass into the end zone. He can't even make that long pass. We might as well have drafted Shador Sanders to make these throws since CD can't make them. Going to make me stress out and have another stroke.
Oh, man. Oh, well, no. Hey.
Don't say that, man.
Get better off that stroke from 6 weeks ago.
Get better, Enrique. Get better. Feel better.
Yeah. But you do need multiple wide receivers.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, the idea of saying we already have a wide receiver, what do we do need another one for?
No.
Is like saying we already have a left tackle, what do we need a right tackle for? There's no difference. It's a starting position on the football field. You have to have two wide receivers. It's like, I already have Micah. Why do I need another defensive end? I have a corner. Why do I need another one?
Mac Angle, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, is crapping on it. The Cowboys hate signing expensive free agents because it means they blew it in the draft and have to overpay, and they don't get the return on investment. They just gave up a 3 and a 5 because they blew it in the draft on wide receiver 2 and have to give them a new deal. Make this make sense.
By the way, Mac, Mac knows, it's not giving up a 5, though, either. You're swapping draft positioning with the 5-6.
So, but also, like, you know, again, you could have, the way the draft played out, it just didn't fall in their favor. Now, they could have.
They also probably knew they had this in a back pocket.
Perhaps.
They wanted McMillan. Once they didn't get McMillan there, was there a wide receiver to trump their second and third round picks? Once the answer was no, they knew Pickens was a possibility. So you have to factor in my opinion, what is Schefter saying about Malik Geda? Okay, he's just talking about Jerry not knowing the name. You have to factor in. I factor in Pickens as part of the draft plan.
Yeah, like he was one of the fail-safes. And when Jerry said two significant trades.
And I'd rather give up the third next year than the third that you just had.
Yes. Yeah, because that's generally you bump it by a round. Yeah. So,
which I still don't understand, but
just because you don't know what it could be.
It's time value of money.
Yeah, and it's also you don't know where it's going to land in the third. So a top of the third is a third, but if it's back into the third, it's considered a fourth. So you can't guarantee it's a third, essentially.
The dollar today more valuable than the dollar tomorrow.
These are the two significant trades. This is one. You said not to close the door on Breece Hall. Those would be two significant trades. I mean, this is part of their evaluation process. Todd Archer had this from ESPN Stats and Info, by the way. George Pickens, since entering the NFL, is third in receiving yards on vertical routes behind only Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson. Like, that's an element of the offense you don't have right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I mean, could they have moved up? Like, and that's the thing. You got to ask yourself, like, when they drafted these guys in the first, second, and third rounds, anything after the third round, I don't really consider that addressing the position necessarily.
Right. Agreed.
You know? I mean, it is, but it's half-assed.
He's better than anyone you draft in the third, by far. Pickens is.
Yes,
do a draft study on it. Do a bigger draft study on who could have been there in the targets, so we can knock out just some of the calls.
Yeah.
JK and Prosper, you're up next. JK, you're live on the Fan.
I appreciate it, guys. Look, I mean, he, from a talent standpoint, it's a great acquisition. We've been on Jerry's tail about this, about improving the roster, taking some chances. I mean, but the problem is, at what cost? I mean, I'm hearing that Schottenheimer wants team guys, culture guys, which I'm all for. They wouldn't supposedly go after take a flyer on Isaiah Bond, who would cost you nothing but a little bit of a reputation hit, because he's not he's got a problem with, out off the field. So I'm not sure the attitude thing. Now you've also locked yourself into a negotiation, and now he holds all the cards because he knows that his agent knows that you're not going to want to lose a third round pick for just a 1 year guy. So I don't know how they're going to pay for it when they say they can't pay for Micah, can't pay for Dak, can't pay for Lamb, can't pay for anybody. So it doesn't make sense as usual with the Cowboys, but I like the acquisition from a talent on the field standpoint.
Thanks for the call, brother. Now, Albert Breer brought up a good point. Choppy first brought up the comp pick that you could get if he leaves. Albert Breer said, or you could just tag him. And I like those two as backup options because I am scared, like JK, of the re-sign.
Yeah, and I don't, to say he holds all the cards because they're not going to just walk away from somebody they gave up a third round pick for. I mean, they gave up a fourth for Trey Lance and they were like, okay, this didn't work. Same sort of thing with Jonathan Mingo. Like, if Jonathan Mingo doesn't work out, like, I mean, the fact that they're already acquiring somebody for a third round pick is like, okay, Jonathan Mingo's not going to be a number two here. So, like, they've shown if they give up third, fourth round territory, they can walk away. I'm not saying that's smart, but it's not a guaranteed, I don't think, to Mulugeta's side that, oh, they're going to re-sign him because they gave up a third round pick. A first, yes.
Avell in Arlington, you're up next here on Sean and RJ. Go ahead, boss.
Hey, fellas, I appreciate you guys taking this call, man. I like it just because of the fact that he will stretch the field and help out with CD. I called KNC a couple after the draft and said that we do need another receiver, and this is perfect. I mean, yes, he may have some type of an attitude issue or things like that. But I believe with him being on a team that has another receiver to help him get open, that'll just open up everything for him, and maybe the attitude will calm down some. As far as re-signing him, I feel like, hey, Dallas can find ways to make money. They figured out a way when they were, they helped when they did redid Dak and CD's deal. They can find the money. I don't think the money is the big issue. I just think that they just wanted to wait until they found the perfect acquisition. And just like when they traded for Amari Cooper a couple of years ago, it helped Dak, it helped the team. I think this is kind of the same ordeal with Pickens. I appreciate the appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks. Right back at you. Nicholas in Burleson. Nicholas, you're up next here on 105.3 The Fan.
Yeah, what's up, guys? I think there's good and bad here with the Pickens deal. But, I mean, when you look at teams like Cincinnati and you got Higgins, you got Chase, you got Mixon in the backfield at one point and Burrow throwing the football. And, you know, and they can't even get it done, when you know, win it all in the Super Bowl. It does make you wonder, you know, in the NFL, I think it's really just comes all down to coaching, you know. It's going to matter, you know, what shot are you going to do? What's the play call is going to look like? I mean, ultimately, we got a number two, right? With Pickens, this is great. He was a number one, really, and we got him as a number two here with CD, so it's going to be interesting to see. But, you know, also, too, man, maybe Pickens is that dog that we need on offense, you know? I mean, who's the dog on offense that we got?
Well, Lamb's a dog. Ferg sometimes is a dog.
I think they're good. But, I mean, maybe it's Pickens just kind of throwing in that mix there, making it a little more testy for some of the players on defense that he's going up against. But I'm interested to see ultimately, like I said, I think it's about coaching. It's always been about coaching with the Cowboys. We've had talent. We've been there. We've had it. But, I mean, let's see what the coaches can do, because that's really what I want to see this year.
Thanks for the call. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. Jacob and Terrell. Jacob, you're next up here on The Fan.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. You know, I don't – as far as his NFL career goes, I haven't watched him a ton. I watched him a lot being a Volunteers fan, watched him a lot at Georgia, and he reminds me of a faster Dez Bryant with the way he can go up and get 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
But the only thing that worries me is, you know, him losing his temper late in the game when the game's on the line and it cost us a game.
Like CD. You know, there was a...
That's a wide receiver thing.
Yeah, I'm glad he brought up the Dez thing. And there was a really interesting clip. I don't know if y'all played it when I was out, from Malik Nabers. He's like, yeah, we're divas and here's why. And I just thought it was like a really good clip. But is Pickens Dez-like in terms of the temperament? Peter Schrager called him demonstrative this morning, not necessarily a diva.
Ooh, I mean, Dez was absolutely demonstrative.
Yes. I would say Dez is more demonstrative than diva.
Yeah, I don't think diva
Pickens,
with
Pickens
Dez.
Is a more negative mindset than Dez had.
Yeah, Dez was like when he got a little sideways, when he got very demonstrative, it was hard to steer him back on the track sometimes in the middle of the game. I think that's just that to me is also a sign of somebody who is so competitive.
Dez was emotional. Dez was never considered cancerous.
Right.
Pickens' emotion is sometimes, I think, considered a little cancerous.
All right.
You hope to iron it out and maturity comes with it.
All right, we'll continue with a few more phone calls. We got Stars Rangers to get to, and the great Brian Broaddus has just sent his scouting report on the Cowboys' new number two. I'll read you the scouting report, calls, texts, Rangers, and Stars as the Hump Day Edition continues right here on 105.3 The Fan.
0-1. And here's the pitch. And that's hit in the air to deep left field. Going back is Langford to the wall. He turns, plays it off the wall, plays the carom perfectly, throws into second, the tag. Out at second base is Toro. What a play by Wyatt Langford. Playing that wall like Carl Yastrzemski.
What a play. That was absolutely perfect. And so was the debut. I thought they were going to cancel this thing. It already got rain delayed. I was like, they can't continue. Evaldi was headhunting accidentally because of the grip on the ball. But Nate was nails. And this is about the debut, the presence of Brett Boone, Rangers' new hitting coach, who will join us 1 hour from now at 9:20 this morning after the 6-1 debut win in Boston. 16 hits, 6 players with 2 hits or more.
You know, I almost was going to ask if Peyton knew who Carl Yastrzemski was.
Yes.
Former Red Sox. Yes.
Okay. Did you know that because of the clip?
He went to Boston, probably the Fenway
tour. Doesn't his son or grandson play for the Giants?
Yes.
Well, and yes, also, what was he famous for about 40 years, Peyton?
That wasn't him. I don't know.
Last guy to win the Triple Crown for Miguel Cabrera. And he won it with a .302 batting average.
Listen, it was great. That was a great play by Wyatt out there in left field. The Rangers, though, the game, obviously the story, and it's going to get completely overshadowed. It's going to even overshadow Nate Eovaldi, how great the offensive performance was.
Yes.
The reality is that this is an offense that needs an injection of life. It seems like it needs a plan.
Yeah.
It seems like they go to the plate and... So there's an old adage, it's 25 guys on the team, at least it used to be. That was like 26, but there used to be 25 guys, 25 cabs to the game, right? They're 25 different players. They're not a team. The lineup for the Rangers has looked like 9 guys with 9 different approaches, and there's never been team at-bats. That's at least how it looked throughout the first 35 games of the season. Yesterday, it looked like they had a plan when they went up there. They executed it. They took team at bats, situational baseball, all that crap. They did something.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's called a manufactured run. Hadn't seen one of those in a while, but they did it in the fourth inning. You know, Semien gets, you know, Jock Peterson over to third. He got the single, but he hit the ball to the right side, right? And a ground ball to the right side. And then Adolis hits a sac fly. Hey, that's a manufactured run. What a novel concept in today's game, because so often in today's game, you see, you might get the runner over. You might. But then you've got the next two guys up swinging from their heels and striking out. A strikeout with a guy on third, less than two outs, is like unacceptable. Like, it's just, you can't do that. And they took what looked like team at bats yesterday.
Cannot wait to talk to Brett Boone about it at 9:20 this morning. What?
How much do we lean into the two aspects of we got you your job and you're the reason that they got 16 hits yesterday?
Well, let's lean more into you're the reason. Yeah. Now we got you the job. I think he's got to, you know, come on here, be buttoned up and professional. What do you think his status is going to be moving forward with us?
Well, he called me yesterday, Sean.
How did you weasel his number? Like, I had just been DMing him. What'd you get out of him? What has he sent you? What type of gloves? What type of bats?
You know,
what
he hasn't sent me any bats. Derek
Holland just got bumped off.
No, Holland's still very much in the picture. He's very much still in the... Holland's very much...
How did you approach the number? What did you do?
I just texted him after...
But how'd you text him? Peyton, I thought, just had, like, the number to call with.
I think I may have stolen it off the... to be honest with you, I don't know. But I just texted him one day, or maybe... I can't remember. It was a while ago. It was over a year ago. And then periodically, I'll shoot him a message, you know, here or there.
Yeah.
And then when this whole thing happened, I sent him a congrats, and he was like, I'm on the plane. Thank you, though. And then yesterday, I sent him the... Hey, we don't know if you still plan on doing this. We'd obviously love to have you on.
Yeah.
And then he calls me like 45 minutes later, an hour later.
Wow.
And he was just like, choppy, let's go. You know, I still want to do this. I'm not going to do the rest of the, you know, he used to do like Seattle and other cities. He goes, I'm not going to do those anymore, but, you know, I'll come on with you guys. So he's like, we'll try to work something out. Wow. So we're trying to work something out moving forward.
Fantastic.
He's been every year when it's come up, we're like, all right, baseball season's coming around. That's always been a priority for us. Was all right, let's make sure Boone's back because he's just always been a really good guest.
Brent Severn is going to join us to preview Stars game 1 at 9. Brett Boone at 9:20. But the breaking news this morning: Bobby Belt had it first. George Pickens is a Dallas Cowboy for a 3rd round pick and some change. Let's hear from the rest of the Tolos. Oh man, here he is. I haven't heard from him for a long time. I think he went into hiding after the Commanders put it on his team's rear end. Lions fan Jeff bringing it here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jeff.
Well, boys. Sean, you need to go get a vasectomy because Beavis and Butthead left unsecured and uncontrolled. While it's great radio, I'm sure that there was. I'm sure Peyton was working overtime for dumps.
Thank you.
Number two.
Yes.
Number two. Why did I first number two? Way to go, Bobby, with the breaking news. The last Dallas Cowboy insider, Mike Fisher, would be breaking it 2 hours and say that Schefter and everybody stole his. Outstanding. Number three. Why do I picture, whether Bobby will ever admit it or not, why do I picture Bobby getting summoned to the Star last night, and instead of John Hamm laying in the bed from Yellowstone or from Landman, it was the Cowboys' future laying there dying. And Jerry did his speech about you got to surround yourself. So they went and traded a third. Two questions for you guys, and rhetorical. I'll wait for the answer later. Number one, how much investment have they made in this number two receiver? Who's that little 130-pound fast guy you got? What's his name?
Kevontae Turpin.
Oh, we're losing Jeff. Oh, no. Phone is acting up. That's why we put on Lions fan Jeff, because he's freaking hilarious.
Yes, he's always on the offensive, just like the Lions, because they don't play defense. No, yeah, they give up 45 to Cliff Kingsbury.
Isaac Tesla.
That was good. That sounded like he was about to be negative, though. Sounded like he was going to do that. Pay, reset the phones in case that's on our end, but that needs to be fixed. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. We have other calls, or you just reset them all?
Yeah, I just reset them. I don't know. It's every time we go past 15 minutes, we go to a new segment with phones and they act up the next segment.
Well, show me the phone so I can see the names on here.
Well, I can't get to them. I reset them.
Okay, so everyone got hung up on?
No. Behind the scenes, the phones can reset without hanging up on people. They're still on hold. They're just resetting.
Okay.
But I can't put them on air.
Okay, can't put them on air.
Yes.
In the meantime, I will read Brian brought us a scouting report. I love how he sends these. George Pickens, Pitt, WR14, 2024 season. Emotional, fiery competitor, will be physical, fighting off the line, tends to push off in order to create space in route, catches the ball away from his body, can really snatch it, will line up in slot and motion across on third downs. Routes tend to be a little playground. Runs until he finds space, is a champ when it comes to tracking the ball, never loses sight of it. His length helps him high point passes. Outstanding driving defender off, then coming back to the ball. Runs with some violence with the ball in his hand. had a fumble versus Indy near the goal line attempting to score. He had three fumbles in his second year in Pittsburgh. Master of the contested catch. Rare body control for the position. Ability to adjust the ball wherever it is placed. Red zone killer. Feet and hands work well together. Will bounce off defenders with ball in his hands. Get everything he can after the catch. Will use his body to protect the ball from the defender. Incompletion generally result in him getting tangled up with defenders or his balance is poor. Rare that he drops a pass. Plays the game with a lot of fire. Not a ton of routes here. Route running not at the top of his strength, but does get open. The tremendous scouting report from Brian Broaddus.
Yeah, I mean, and that's somebody that Broaddus really liked coming out of Georgia. Broaddus would have taken him in the first round when he was coming out. And he slipped a lot in large part because of what he's just talking about there. The route running is totally clean. And then also some of the off field stuff. But he is absolutely rare for the position in terms of what he can do with contested catches and down the field.
All right, I'm going to try one more phone line here. Otherwise, I'm going to freaking blow a gasket in this building. And they'll send me on more paternity leave, even though it is expired. Sean in Fort Worth, you're live on The Fan. What's your reaction to the Pickens deal?
I love it. Love it. I need the Jerry to make one more move. Get rid of Diggs, recoup that third rounder, and then we roll it. Don't underestimate Jerry. Jerry will come through in the clutch for y'all.
All right, so Jerry Jones should be giving praise this morning. Yep. According to a lot of the Tolos, this is all in.
This is all in. Look, I mean, this is a move that they made last year. If they made it last year, we would have agreed this was an all-in move at the time, right? But, you know, things change.
Yeah.
I mean, they needed a receiver. He was the top one available.
Yep.
So, I mean, in that sense, it's as big a return as you can get for what they needed.
Big of a return as you can get. Now, trading Diggs, I mean, that would be opposite of an all-in move.
I'd
be cool with it.
Yeah, I mean,
okay with it, but I don't think you could say, hey, we're all in and then trade a starter.
I mean, you just drafted Revell though. And you've got Bland
but he's off an injury.
Yeah, but I mean, so's Diggs.
Look, the bottom line is Diggs isn't tradable anyway for what we would want back, right?
Probably not. No, he's probably going for a day three pick, is what I would guess at this point.
Trevor in Arlington, you're up next. Trevor, you're live on The Fan.
This morning, I wanted to get up and throw up the X as soon as I got out of bed and I put you guys on YouTube. I mean, seriously, this would be the closest thing to a prime Dez Bryant that we get back on this roster. And given the fact that Schottenheimer has been such a culture guy, I feel like this is a good move that will put him in a position to maybe prove it, that he is a culture guy. He can bring somebody who's got a bad rabbit that can play and bring him into the team and really do something that's solid. Like, again, I say, we got us another Dez Bryant, guys.
Thanks for the call. That is the number one counter when it comes to the Cowboys angle of things. How do you preach all this culture? How do you sit here and talk about all this leadership, right type of dudes that you just drafted, and then make a move for this guy who could be the number one pain in the ass in the National Football League? That is one of the most, if not the most common question that's being asked.
Yeah, and I, it's a fair question, and again, it's kind of what he was just saying there, though. It is the Cowboys are looking at it from the perspective of, great, you want to establish your culture. Like, we need to see that the culture isn't winning if you're just loading it up with Boy Scouts. You're not overcoming anything. Can you bring people in here and change the dynamic to where we can start taking some risks with guys that wouldn't normally? Charles Haley was a risk that they were able to make a calculated risk and take. And the culture that Jimmy had here functioned for Charles Haley in a way that it didn't in San Francisco. And so it's the same sort of idea. Culture doesn't necessarily mean everybody's squeaky clean. It means you make it work, even if they are a pain in the ass sometimes.
RKG doesn't always have to be that. But, you know, different era with Jimmy. Different era, right? The dynamic between coach and player was a little bit different. But, yeah, I think that you can't have a team of Boy Scouts. You do need, and I do want some crazy people on my football team. You know, I want a lot of my defense to have a very blurred line between like a functioning member of society and an unfunctioning member of society.
All right, let's see what everyone else around the country is saying about the news that Bobby Bell broke. George Pickens is your new number two. We have it covered for you next on the Home of the Cowboys in Below the Belt, right here on The Fan. The great Bobby Bell.
Bobby Bell
is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not over.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Thank you, Bobby. What if George Pickens is playing for a team other than the Dallas Cowboys in 2026? Is that bad? Is that really bad? What do you have to get out of him this year for it to make sense, even if he leaves in 2026? It's been brought up, first off, the news this morning, the Cowboys have made a trade for Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver George Pickens. It is Pickens and a fifth rounder in 2026, as Todd Archer has clarified, going to the Pittsburgh Steelers in return Pickens at a sixth coming to the Cowboys in return for a third round pick and a fifth round pick in 2025. And it's something right now that the talk is Albert Breer saying there's no contract in place for George Pickens coming over here. So he's just under contract for this year. He did point out you can franchise tag him. Joel Corey from CBS Sports, who is the contract whiz, the contract expert.
Is 28 million.
Tag is going to be 28 and a half million. That's what it's projected.
So I know this. I never say this when these types of deals get done, when you're getting the player on the 1 year deal. I'm happy that there is not an extension announced right now.
Me too.
I need to wait and see. This is Jerry saying, I need to see the leaves fall. I need to wait and see. And this is the rare instance where I'm not happy that the long-term sign-up is tagged along with it.
Joel Corey says, better move for the Dallas Cowboys than George Pickens. He said the Cowboys get a legitimate receiving threat, making $3.6 million in 2025 for at least one season. Pickens goes from a team with a $33 million per year receiver to one with a $34 million per year receiver. So just in general, you're talking about pie devotion and things like that.
Yeah, so look at the things that you balance, right, if you're Pickens. You're in Pittsburgh, you're the one with bums at quarterback and hands tied with an offensive coordinator. And you go to an established quarterback, but now you have the one, you should receive less attention. You got more attention as the one. So which one makes you happier? As the two with the quarterback and less attention, or the number one, all the spotlight, lesser quarterback, more attention?
Does it matter who pays you if you're George Pickens, or do you just want to get paid?
What do you mean doesn't matter who?
So if you want Dallas to pay you, that's going to probably impact things. They're going to say you're two, CD's the one, you're not going to get paid like that. If you don't care and you're just looking for the most money, you're probably going to maximize your stats next year, and then you can go, okay, if I get tagged, then I'll get tagged, I'll play on it, and then I'll get paid one day, and it just won't be in Dallas. But if you'd like to stay in Dallas, it might frustrate you a little bit.
I mean, he could sit there and play it like, if he has a big year, let's say he has like a really, really, really good year as a solid two. Over 1,000 yards, you know, just 15 yards of catch.
Give him a T. Higgins season.
Sure. Right? Give him a T season. And now, all of a sudden, he could parlay that into, well, he's not going to be here because you're not going to pay both of them, although the Bengals are showing you can. He'll get $30 million somewhere else.
Higgins just had 73 for 9-11 and 10.
Yeah, I don't. And this may be a controversial take. I don't know. I've always thought Pickens was better than T. Higgins. I think T. Higgins is one of the most oversold players in the National Football League. And that's a guy who, like, he's had, in the last couple years, he just got a massive payday, essentially picking up, on average, spread out over a 17-game average, essentially picking up around 900 yards a season is what he's got. And so I'm not a huge fan of his. Some of the numbers on T. Higgins that are out there, Todd Archer points out that George Pickens is the only player in the NFL over the last three seasons who is over 2,000 yards receiving. Like, that's the benchmark there. If you got 2,000 yards receiving over the last 3 years, cumulatively, he's the only one to average 16 yards per reception or more. So you're talking about a guy who gets volume and gets down the field and is able to stretch the field. He is third in receiving yards on vertical routes with 1,630 since 2022, which is when he came in the league. He's behind only Tyreek Hill by about 500 yards. Tyreek's way ahead of everybody else. And then he's behind Justin Jefferson by about 30 yards.
Chase Daniel says, feels a little bit too rich. Former quarterback RG3 says, whoa, the Cowboys actually made an all-in move. A young, dynamic wideout going into his prime in a contract year. They now have two number one receivers, and Pickens is incentivized to have the best year of his career for Brian Schottenheimer. Remind me how the comp system works, because if you can tell me that I can get a very nice season from Pickens that isn't some crazy beyond expectation career year and get back my third if he leaves, then I'm really thrilled with this. I'm happy with it. I'm in. But if I can have that third round comp pick safety net, I'm really, really happy.
It has to do with something like what you lose versus what you bring in, right?
It's, well, that's the thing. It's a proprietary formula that people don't exactly know.
Okay.
So, like,
because at first I used to think
teams have no idea what they're getting. They have a projection. They think they know.
Really?
And there's only vague things in the CBA that align, like, tell you what it is. So,
because I used to think it was your production, and then I thought it's what another team signs you for. Is it those two things mixed
in? But it's also what you bring back also in free agency too, right?
So yeah, what you sign versus what you give up. A lot of the methodology, people have gotten pretty close to figuring out what it is. Like, you can get in the ballpark, but nobody's ever just 100% slam dunk been able to tell you what the projections are. Over the cap has what they believe. So basically they'll tell you it in the CBA, it says these are the things that factor in, but we're not going to tell you specifically how they're factored in or weighted. But it's average per year on the contract signed. You subtract from the average per year any money that the compensatory formula does not count. You then take, like, snap counts, there's all these different factors that go into it. And then, yeah, if you sign certain players, that cancels out what you would have lost. So essentially the comp pick formula is about play time that you lost, contract that was signed with the next team, and then did you lose more than you gained? Whatever the number is in terms of what you lost versus what you gained through signings then gives you a net result of what the comp picks are. And so the highest they go is a third rounder. And Pickens, I would imagine, with his play time and what kind of contract he would get, he would be a third or fourth is what I would guess.
All right, 1,600 Tolos have voted on the poll question. How do you feel about the deal, the breaking news this morning that Bobby was able to break before the show? 63% say love it, all in move. 27%, I don't know how to feel, 10% mistake, Pickens is a cancer. So I think them Oxnard seats going to be a little bit more filled in. Let's go to Lewis Riddick on here. I always like what he has to say.
But see, you know, we constantly have to try and do this dance, just like NFL front offices and coaching staffs have to do this dance, meaning getting excited about what would this look like on the football field versus what does it look like away from our view? What does it look like in the meeting room? What does it look like during training sessions in terms of being in the training room? What does it look like when he's supposed to be in the weight room and doing those kinds of things? What's it supposed to look? What's it going to look like as far as his ability to be on time in meetings, not be disruptive? We don't know how all this is. And look, I hear exactly what RC is saying. Look, 2 years ago, we went there down to Baltimore when Pittsburgh was getting ready to play Baltimore in the Week 18 game. And we were talking about George Pickens. And you could hear Mike sitting there trying to balance the fact that this is a supremely talented player that obviously pushes me as far as it can push me as far as being able to corral him and keep him within the guardrails, right? In between the white lines, in between the, you know, as far as going out of bounds and doing things that would just be totally disruptive. There comes a point in time when you just go, hey, look, the talent is not good enough at this point for me to continue to tolerate it. Obviously, Dallas is saying, hey, look, man, we didn't get the guy in the draft that we needed. There wasn't someone there that we thought could make a difference or something of that nature. So we have to make a move here. We all know in free agency, you know more about the players that you have when you're talking about veteran player.
This was my problem with Kuiper and Shador. Kuiper sitting there crying and bitching and having a national meltdown that Shador Sanders fell. Well, Mel is really evaluating him on the traits physically that he's watching on tape. Mel don't got to deal with Deion. Mel don't got to deal with Shador. Mel doesn't have to deal with the teammates answering for Shador. Mel don't got to deal with the fans chanting for Shador. Mel doesn't have to deal with the teammates' reaction to the whole Sanders, what comes with the Deion deal and cameras filming a Netflix documentary. Mel doesn't have to deal with all that. So that to me is what I took right there from Lewis Riddick. Like, what does he do in the weight room? What is he doing behind the scenes? We need to hear from multiple and go do the homework for tomorrow on what Steelers teammates have said, who can set the record straight, how is he misunderstood, is he misunderstood whatsoever, and we really need to sit down with him for 20 minutes in Oxnard, and that's why you reach out to David Mulugeta. How's David Mulugeta? Does this mean things are all good between Jerry and him after the Micah ordeal, the Micah disrespect?
Yeah, I don't think he...
Did you text him?
Yes. I don't think he blinks in general. Like when we talked about the Jerry reaction, I think he... My guess is David probably smirked when he saw Jerry's quote. Was just like, okay. Yeah. Like, okay, I understand this game. And similarly, it's very businesslike with David, I think. And so to me, I think he's not going to let his money get mad. He's not going to let his players' money get mad. He's going to be professional about it. And so, again, them getting George Pickens does not guarantee he's even going to be here past his contract. I think he's here and minimum a tag. So probably 2 years minimum, which for a third round pick.
So basically 2 years for $32 million, so 16 a year. My math right?
Yeah.
We're like 3.5 this year. The tag will be 28.
Yeah, so you're looking at 2 years, $32 million, and...
And I love that.
You may hear
two for 32.
Let's say on the pessimistic end, it's a fourth-round comp pick he gets back. So you end up getting that, at like whatever Pickens production you get for that money, and you're essentially just trading spots in the fifth and third round to the fourth and the sixth. That's probably worth 32 games of production in a tight window as, you know, that we're wondering if their opportunity is closing here.
It's a lease. You're leasing them. You know?
Unless he comes in and blows you away.
Yeah, and then it's like, hey, I'll pay the balloon payment at the end. That's the way it works.
Which, if you're looking for a lease, you can always use D&M Leasing. Right. They're great.
877-881-1053. Hopefully you were part of the 6 a.m. club following us on social media as Bobby Belt got it all started. Well done, Roberto, as our Cowboys insider. But we do have an actual playoff team. We're hoping the Cowboys and Rangers and Mavericks make it. But we have one starting round two tonight. And our buddy, the great, what's Sevy going to do when he hears we did not bump him for Cowboys news? He won't know how to respond. The Show of Wales with the 9 o'clock hour back-to-back. Brent Severin, then Brett Boone next on Sean and RJ.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.